Dubai Eye
103.8. We are discussing a very serious issue on the programme today. It all stemmed from our chat yesterday, actually, when we were talking about whether or not people should have, whether or not children had an impact on the environment and whether or not people should have fewer children in order to help save the environment. One of the amazing guests we had on at that time was a lady called Mariella, and she discussed the fact that because her and her husband wanted to be environmentally friendly, but also they wanted to help children from another country, they decided to adopt, and that got Zina and I chatting. And so we have today in the studio Mariella's husband, Juan, who is from Spain. Juan Gonzalez, thank you for joining us. Let me put your microphone up so we can hear you. Yeah. Hi there, Juan. How are you doing?
Good morning. Very good.
We also have May Reed Walsh, who's a magazine editor and super mum, which is, I told you I was going to introduce you like that. May Reed has also adopted, and her daughter is from Ethiopia. Juan, you've got two children who you've adopted.
Correct, yes.
From Ethiopia. Are they boys or girls?
Do you mind saying?
Both boys. Okay, fantastic. And so we thought that the best way to discuss the topic of adoption, there's not really a sort of a question around this, unless you're listening and you're thinking about adoption, please do get in touch. Both May Reed and Juan are pretty much experts on the subject, having been through the very lengthy process in order to adopt their children. May Reed, how did your adoption journey start? Why did you decide to adopt a child? It feels like a really intimate question. I'm sorry. Because this is such an intimate topic, ultimately. It's such a private topic.
It is, but it's one that I'm very passionate about and happy to discuss because it's been life-changing, as parenthood is for everyone. But the journey to parenthood was a very different, an intense journey that had lots and lots and lots of obstacles, which made it all the more rich and fabulous and rewarding in the end. But I think I always knew I wanted to adopt. It was something that I spoke about as a teenager. I was very interested in it. I became interested in developing countries and different things that were going on in the world. So it was something that I think I had in my sights. I did think I would get married and have kids of my own and also adopt. But the first two didn't happen. So I decided to power through and go ahead with a lifelong dream. And I did that in my mid-40s. So I took some time, definitely. I had traveled a lot of the world and I had been to a lot of developing countries and orphanages and seen and been very touched by the relationships I had with children there. And so that was sort of a kernel of how it started. And then when I was living here for the amount of time that I had been, over a decade at that point, that it was an international adoption that I was facing, which has its challenges on multiple levels. But first and foremost, you're dealing with three governments. One, the country you're living in. Two, the country that you can adopt from. And three, your own country, the ministries and government there through passports, etc. So it was facing that challenge. But with the UAE set up here, Ethiopia was a country that was open to adoption at the time. So I visited and I was ecstatic and emotional and knew that it was the right path for me. And I say quickly started the process, but I didn't realize at the time the process was going to take 3.5 years to the day I started, to the day I brought my daughter back to the UAE.
Wow, 3.5 years. And I complain about the length of a pregnancy. And you did, yeah.
I call it the pregnancy of paperwork because it was that challenge of patience, but fortunately laced with love along the way. You're uplifted to carry on, so.
Juan, it was your experience similar? Was it? Did it take as long to adopt your two children?
Yeah, it takes time, right? She said that she was dealing with three governments. Mariella is originally from Argentina with an Italian passport, and I'm Spanish, and we were living in Ireland. So we have to get paperwork from different countries.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
Before we were going to UAE and Ethiopia.
Gosh, and so why did you... So you were living in Ireland?
We were living in Ireland before we moved here. We moved here and then while we were here, we said, like, we didn't want to have biological children because we have... There were so many kids that they need home. And we say, why are we going to bring more kids into the world when there are many of them that need home? So that's where we decided to start the process.
I'm so interested that you had that feeling, because especially, I mean, maybe I'm presuming how men feel, which is probably totally inaccurate in many cases. But you often think, I suppose, anecdotally, you imagine men as wanting to sort of procreate and make vision little images of themselves. It's quite interesting that as a dad, you decided you didn't need to have a biological child. You had you always felt that you wanted to help orphans, essentially?
Not really. I never thought about it, and. Marielle and I, we didn't have that conversation like for a very long time. So when we decide like, okay, this is the time now to have kids, and then we start thinking like all the options and say, okay, why don't we adopt? And there was the option to do from here. So we start the process, and here we are now with two little kids.
Two, and so when you adopted the two boys, did you go through the process for both of them at the same time, or did you adopt one and then adopt the other?
We start with one. We always thinking to have two, and I would say, okay, why don't we do one first? We wait 1 year and then we get another one. And there were a few things that were going on along the way. Like the reality then in Ethiopia is completely different what did you think when you're here, right? So, and they were the second child, they was already very close with our first kid, right? So we decided like,
oh, so they were already friends at,
they were already in the same orphanage, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
gosh.
We saw like other families, they were facing sometimes like to integrate the kid into the family was a little bit harder for them and take a longer time. We say, okay, if we adopt them at the same time, we will not have that issue. All the paperwork is the same. We don't have to do it again, which it takes time. And as she said, it's challenging to get all those paperwork.
I bet. I mean, if it takes 3 years, the process with the paperwork must be a nightmare, Mary.
Well, okay. So I think my personal case was it took almost a year for my paperwork to come together. And because, I mean, I didn't mention this, I have an Irish passport as well. And
oh,
my
wow.
UAE visa at the time was in my Irish passport. So I quickly had to move that over to reduce it from 4 to 3 countries. But I think that you also, you know that you are on a journey that is like the paperwork is about getting it right. I mean, anyone can have a lovely Valentine's night and in November they have a baby.
It is. There's a surprising number of November babies, actually.
Exactly.
Anyone who's got a November birthday,
yes,
you know what it means.
Romance is in the air. But that said, they don't have the requirements of having their financial history checked, having police checks, having educational records, blood tests. I mean, family history, medical history, as well as any kind of other history that your family might have that you have to write about, and you have to go through psychological testing.
Yeah, now you see, I wanted to ask about that because, and even asking it, I feel slightly rude because like I said, no one made me go for psychological tests before my husband and I made a baby. But it's funny, with adoption, you're suddenly allowed to say, well, how did you know you were ready? How did you know you were the right person to adopt? How do you know you're an adequate, you know, you're going to be good enough at being a parent? And it must be so hard to be confronted with all of those questions. And yet, in many ways, so right. Because, of course, the children have to be protected.
Of course, of course. And I think that you do appreciate that when you're answering all those questions. But it's also part of your emotional journey. You don't go through the physical gestation of having a child or planning with your partner months or years in advance when you want to have a child. So when you have to put all that together, it gives you the opportunity to really think long and hard and dig deep into what parenting means to you, and you know how you think your childhood and your parents and your friends and your support network and all of the elements that come into parenting are going to come together for you and this child.
This is The Agenda with Tom Urquhart
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Hello there, listening to The Agenda. We are discussing adoption on the programme today. I've got two fantastic guests in the studio. Mairead Walsh, who's a magazine editor, who's adopted a girl from her daughter from Ethiopia. And then Juan Gonzalez, who is originally from Spain. Him and his wife decided to adopt two boys from Ethiopia. Discussing the journey here that you guys went through, obviously we've discussed in some detail the sort of hoops that you had to jump through. So once you've got, you know, once you've got permission from three different governments and you've written all your documents and you've done your psychological testing and you ticked all the boxes, Juan, what happens then? You just wait?
Yes, you just wait. You just wait first for the call to say, okay, there is a kid that is, that this is going to be your son, so you can come and meet him.
So someone rings you?
Yeah. It's there is a person that is from the orphanage and the person that is doing the paperwork in the country. So he called you and say, okay, there is this kid. He can be your son, or it's your son. He say literally, this is your son. Come and meet him, okay.
Wow.
And that's where the process. I mean, we got that phone call. Like we were, we were in the middle also of opening our own business. We were about to get the license, and we get the call from Ethiopia. Say, okay, here is your kid. Come and meet him.
So, and can you remember where you were when you got that phone call? Like, were you in Spinneys or something, or was it not that?
No, I don't remember for the first one. I do remember for the second one. We were just driving, going to the plant market in.
Here in Dubai. Near Desert Palm. Yeah.
And we got a call and say, and that was when the court was approved already for finalizing the paperwork so you can take home the kid. And we were there and we just turned around and go back home, book the flights, and immediately the day after we were there.
Wow. Mairead, was it the same for you? Do you just suddenly get a call?
Yeah, you do. You do. You're waiting. And I had an 11-month wait from when I submitted my final paperwork to when I got the call. And I remember it distinctly because it was the day after Donald Trump was elected. So I thought I went from hearing about a tragedy to a miracle. So I didn't actually tell anybody because I got the call and I was completely... you know, your heart is in your mouth, or actually your heart is bouncing from your knee to your elbow to your mouth to your eyeball. It's all over your body. And then you just quickly book a flight. And so I was in Ethiopia within 48 hours. And it's a very, very surreal experience because you walk in to see this child and you have a little care package that you've put together with
a toy
pink
or something.
Fuzzy camel, yeah. And a blanket, and some things. The blanket that you've been sleeping with for months because they want you to bring something that, you know, smells like you, that the child can identify with, mm-hmm. and hang on to. And so you have your little care package, your first care package for your child. And then I met my daughter, and she sat on my lap and looked very nonplussed.
How old was she?
She was 5.5 months.
Oh, fair dues. She didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah. So that was surreal, but amazing. You know, you're immediately hit with the panicking sensation of, oh my God, I may be looking after you every day of my life until I die.
It's that responsibility, the sudden dawning of responsibility. But what is so agonizing for you both as parents at that point is that you instantly bond with the baby or your child, and you've been told they are your child, but you can't take them home.
That's right. I remember signing about 20 pieces of paper that day and thinking, none of my signature looks like the page previous because your hand is all over the place. But I don't think at the time, and Juan may have had a different experience, but I didn't. You're told at that point it's probably about 3 months because of the paperwork process that's required from. But, you know, it was another 16 months before I could bring my daughter home.
Wow.
So,
Juan, what was it like for you with your two boys?
Yeah, so I mean, basically, the first thing is the first call, you go and sign the adoption papers, right? Or adoption contract, or whatever you want to call it. And then you meet the kid, and then you go home.
And oh, that must feel really weird.
Yeah, and then the good thing is you can go as many times as you want until the actual adoption is formally finalized. But
Ethiopia is quite a long way away, though, and you have to work.
I mean, it's 4 hours. It's not that much.
It's not too bad. But
so
still,
we were flying like every month for 4 or 5 days whenever we have time to go. And that was probably the most emotional part of the journey, because you have your key there, you cannot take it.
Yeah.
So that's, and obviously, like, Ethiopia is a third world country. Even when they're in a good orphanage, they're not getting the best as you think, right?
How old were your sons when you adopted them? Were they babies as well?
No, the first one was 14 months. The older one was 4 years, sorry.
4 years?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So it must have been very hard to leave them every time you came back, because you knew the life you were going to be able to offer them, and yet you had to wait.
Yeah, and just always waiting for that phone call that seems that it will never arrive. And it's kind of hard. I mean, it wasn't hard. It is very emotional, I will say.
He said, she said, why don't you?
Call The Agenda on 04-871-5500 and join the conversation.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Am I allowed to use the word grooving? Does that just age me to about, 68? Right. A big, big conversation on the programme today, minus the silliness of the Macarena. We are discussing adoption. Now, this all spilled over from yesterday when we were talking about children and environmentalism. We wanted to find out more about what it was like to adopt here in the UAE, how it feels to adopt, and basically just have the conversation. So if anyone out there is also considering adoption, that you can be informed and you can get a sense of what it's like within the communities of people who have gone through that very, very difficult process. Joined in the studio by Mairead Walsh, magazine editor and super mum. Her daughter, I'm going to carry on doing that. Her daughter is from Ethiopia. Also Juan Gonzalez, who is from Spain. He decided to adopt 2 children from Ethiopia alongside his wife, Mariela. I love just saying you're from Spain as your profession. I don't know what you do, Juan. What's your job?
I do 2 things. My wife and I, we own our own business. So she's the CEO and the CFO. And then I also work for the Trade and Investment Office of Spain.
Perfect. And we also have Yudmila Lamalova, who is in the studio. Are you the founding partner of HBL?
Yudmila and Pletka? Yes.
Perfect. Fantastic. Lovely to have you in the studio. Ludmila, I'm going to start with you because you have just joined us. What is the deal with adopting in the UAE? Is it allowed?
Well, let me talk about it from the legal perspective. From the legal perspective, number one, there is no law that provides or even mentions adoption. So there's no law that makes it necessarily illegal, but there's no law related to adoption in the UAE. And now there are a number of resources that are available, including on the UAE government website that deals with adoption, fostering, and sponsorship of children. There are certain authorities, such as the Ministry of Social Affairs, and there's a Community Development Authority under it, that deal with children-related issues and family-related issues. So these are more circumstantial, if you will, regulations and facilities that are available to parents who are considering to adopt. But in terms of a formal legal framework, there is not one. Now, what is clear, and this is that that adoption is allowed for non-Muslims.
It
is allowed. However, it's subject to the laws and regulations of their own respective countries. And be it if it's international adoption, it's whatever the international adoption type regulations that relate. Or if it's if you're trying to naturalize your child, your adopted child through your particular country, so it'll be subject to the laws of that particular country. But as far as that parent or family wanting to bring a child into the UAE, an adopted child, that is allowed as long as they're non-Muslims. At least technically speaking. So that, then it becomes more of an issue of administrative process in terms of how do you bring a child into the UAE that who has been adopted. And it's more about, as those of us who are parents and who have sponsored the children would very well know and relate to, it's just the paperwork. And paperwork usually comes for him. This starts with a birth certificate. And then obviously the birth certificate and the reason for it is to reflect who the parents are. Well, if the child is adopted, there will be a mismatch. Then there will be, and if it's a couple or a family, a married couple that's adopting, that's one thing, because then you have both parents and their required documentation in support of this this process for sponsorship of the child in the UAE. But if you're a single parent, then you're still missing that piece of paper that is an NOC or an objection certificate from the other parent that allows you for you as a single parent, for example, to sponsor the child. So this is more an administrative list of documents that all of us here in the UAE are required to submit to the government in order to be able to sponsor that child, for them to live in the UAE and be a UAE citizen. So that's in terms of just the formal adoption. Now, what is available in the UAE is fostering and sponsorship of children. So these are not necessarily legal relationships between families and their fostered children, for example, but more about in connection with fostering. It's the child will live with the family, would be part of the family in every possible way except legally. So they will not carry their passport. They can be under their sponsorship sort of in a different capacity, but they don't have a legal relationship with that family. They basically just live there and are being taken care of that particular family. So fostering is allowed, and there are a number of provisions through these various ministries that provide for how the sponsorship happens. And it's usually under the umbrella of the Community Development Authority. And so, for example, if a family wants to sponsor a child, they would apply and they need to qualify. They need to be financially stable, mentally stable. Obviously, that's sort of the relationship, the fostering relationship is registered through them. So then in the event the family changes their mind or the child wants to move to a different family, at least there is some regulatory authority to which they can go back and regroup. So there are these ministries that are involved.
So if you are a Muslim person, even if you're not from the UAE, you're not allowed to adopt in this country.
Well, see, there's no law that says necessarily that no Muslims are not allowed to adopt, in the UAE. But if you are, let's say, a Muslim family, and there are many of them here that, let's say, Canadian origin, so, and they have adopted a child and they have made that adoption, including all the paperwork, legal in their own home country, i.e. in Canada, for example. So now the child has a Canadian passport and that child now carries the family's name. So for the purposes of the UAE, I mean, it's the question of, well, are you a Muslim and this child has been adopted doesn't really quite come in because it becomes more administrative. So as a family, you move here and now you say, okay, we have a child and we want to bring the child here and I'm going to sponsor. So at that point, the child already has your name. The mm-hmm. child has the passport of your country. And then there will be a requirement of a birth certificate. And if there's a mismatch, there will be an adoption certificate. So for the authorities, that will be sufficient. And at that point, they don't question and say, well, because that's not the role of the authority to which you apply for residence fees. It's an immigration authority, right? They're not a regulatory authority in terms of, well, you're a Muslim person, you're not allowed to adopt. So there, they just kind of go through the paperwork, and as long as you meet all the paperwork requirements, then you can be a Muslim person in family and have children here whom you've adopted legally in other jurisdictions.
Mairead and Juan, whenever I get chatting to Ludmilla about legal issues, I just see pound signs. I mean, that's my currency because I grew up in Britain. But as soon as you start talking about the amount of paperwork that you need and the processes that you have to go through, it just made me realise how incredibly expensive it all must have been for you to get to where you are now. I mean, it's not something that you had to be able to afford to do it as well.
Yeah, and I'll say my secret on that is I started a file where I collected all the receipts and paperwork just because I'm an organized person. And then at some point through the process, I decided it didn't matter. So I got rid of that folder and I never added anything to it because there's no price you can put on this experience.
Yeah, you just You just, I thought, yeah, you just went
as a parent, you find a way.
Yeah.
So that's
exactly.
It.
Juan, did you guys, I mean, you went through the process twice and all those flights backwards and forwards to Ethiopia as well, to while you waited for that final agreement.
Yeah, I mean, the flights to Ethiopia is basically, we didn't take any other holidays. So our holidays was going to Ethiopia. So in that sense, like, you do have like an, I would say, allocated budget for holidays, right? We were spending those holidays to go and see our kids.
I just can't believe how it must have felt leaving them. It must have been, once you've been told that they're your children and you're allowed to go, how long were you allowed into the orphanage each day to see the children when you're on your visits?
I had a fortunate situation where I could go in around 8 o'clock in the morning and stay until the kids fell asleep. So I had lots of children climbing all over me all day long, and it was amazing for them and amazing for me, but it was exhausting. But I also look back on that, and the day that I did walk out with my daughter, she knew exactly who I was, and we had already developed a bond, and you know, over a year and a half of me visiting. So that's there's no regrets on that front. You know, it's definitely part of the process that, you know, brought us closer together.
What's it like on the day you finally get to leave with them, Juan? What's it like?
Oh wow, I don't know even how to describe that. Like, the thing is, you get the final approval, like the judge or the court order, like that's your kid, of legally is your kid right now, right? And then there is still some paperwork that you have to do.
Of course, you have to get it. Sounds like there's paperwork
the Ethiopian,
all the time.
Ethiopian birth certificate, the court order, and then the passport, the Ethiopian passport. And then for me as a Spanish, I need to get the birth certificate of the kids in Spanish at the embassy of Spain in Ethiopia, in Addis Abeba. Because with that birth certificate, I will go to the embassy here in the UAE and I will apply for the Spanish passport.
Okay. And so you left the orphanage, but you couldn't leave the country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for some, depend on the countries, they might take like 3-4 days, 5 days. For us, usually to get all those papers, it was about 10 days, more or less. But then to get the Spanish passport, it was quick, because the Spanish law, they say once you have the order from the judge, from the court, that is approved, and it's approved by the government, and it's with the birth certificate of the embassy of the Spain in whatever country is the adoption, it's equivalent to a biological kid.
So
there was no differentiation whatsoever on that. So we got the passport like in 2 weeks. And they were Spanish, with a Spanish passport in 2 weeks.
I do not have the same situation.
Yeah, no, it's not the same for every country.
No, it's very different. I think at different times it's different as well. Like, depends on what's going on at the country at the time, potentially. I have spent, my daughter's been home with me for 2 years, and I'm still waiting on her Canadian citizenship. And then until I get that, I can't get her passport. So, you know, and even visas, there's a lot of other Canadians I know here who had adopted, but weren't able to get a visit visa to go to Canada. So
to take them to see
just
their
for
new
a
family.
Holiday, exactly. So, and that's been true on varying levels for different countries at different times for different reasons. But I think to answer your question about leaving that day, it's similar to, I imagine, the emotional roller coaster of a new parent leaving with a newborn. You think that someone's going to stop you at the door and say, "No, you're not ready. You can't go home with that child." But like everything else, you learn on the fly. So it's sensational. And actually, the child helps you.
Do they
feel
like, it's okay?
I think so. I think, you know, they're not as breakable, and they're not going to remember every little detail as much as you think. I mean, my daughter weed in my lap when we left. I think just looking out the window and touching my face and getting, you know, overly excited about this new adventure we're going on. And I think that's how you have to think about everything, is that it's an adventure.
Amazing.
You're listening to The Agenda.
It's all about your news and your views
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Hello there, discussing adoption on the agenda this morning. We have two guests in the studio who've gone through the process of adopting children. That is Mairead and Juan, who have separately adopted Mairead, a daughter from Ethiopia, and Juan, two boys from Ethiopia, and also Ludmila Yamalova, who's a lawyer from HBL Yamalova and Plethka. We were just talking about the moment when you're allowed to bring your children home, and for both of you, that was to bring them back to the UAE because this was where you were living. Obviously, they're Ethiopian children. How did they settle into living in Dubai, Juan? How did they find, it's kind of different, right?
it's kind of different, but I mean, when they adapt, they were living all the time there. For example, when we brought the second one, that he was already four, and the other one was waiting, so they just met and start playing. That's it. It was and so simple for them to adapt. When they're little, they adapt very quick to any situation. And even when they go back, when we go and visit the family, it seems like they have been with them for ages, and they have just met them.
I think the children are fantastically resilient. All children are, really. But the thing is, it's about the love and the bond that you've built up with them. And to me, there's no distinction between biological and adopted child after that. She is my daughter through and through. The relationship we have is 100%. And I think that, I'm someone who is Canadian born, but I have Irish parents. I live in the Middle East. I have an Ethiopian daughter. And all of those cultures are brought into our relationship. We have a fantastic network here of access to Ethiopian culture, language, dance, music, and we revive that and ensure that all the parents that I know that have adopted Ethiopian children are very committed to ensuring that the children know exactly where they're from and their roots, but they also get the added bonus of living in this brilliant country that's so multicultural and have access to all of that, and then our own families and countries. So that's all part and parcel of the adoption process.
Do they teach you? I mean, I know there's no real sort of parenting handbook in any circumstance. Well, there are plenty, but there's no sort of seminal one. Do they tell you how to tell? I mean, obviously, my brother, for example, when he was growing up, he was, being adopted was just something that he was told right from the very start. And it just becomes, and Georgia's your sister. It's just the process. Are you told that you should to do that at the beginning with your children, that you just say, you're adopted and it just becomes part of their family law, L-O-R-E. Their family story is a better way of putting it.
Yeah, I mean, we tell them constantly. We tell them for example, Mariela tell them you're not coming from the belly, you're coming from the heart. And they're perfectly fine. They know. I mean, they may be a little bit little. They may be small yet. But obviously, when they grow up, they will see the difference. They have darker skin, we have pale skin. And
I think kids ask hard questions, right? All kids do. Yeah, and you're always put on the spot as a parent, coming out of your belly or not coming out of your belly. But you create a family history that they understand right from the get-go so that they don't, nothing comes at them as a surprise. And ultimately, you build on that story with them.
Sadly, we're going to have to come to the end of our conversation, which is I could have gone on for ages because it's been absolutely fascinating. Thank you, everyone, for joining us in the studio. Mairead, Juan and Ludmila, really, really appreciate all of your inputs. I think this is definitely one we could do again. Again, please do get in touch if you've got any stories, if you'd like to add to this conversation, if you've been adopted, if you are adopted. We've had some really wonderful messages coming in, including this one, which we just wanted to play quickly.
Okay, guys, what do we want to tell Daddy?
Daddy, you're the best daddy ever. Daddy, you're the best ever.
We love you.
We love you.
Okay, so we were slightly crying already. That was a message for Juan from his family, Mariela, and the kids. But thank you all of you for joining us. It's just been an amazing hour.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.